Our next guest was in Vegas, I believe, for an extended period of time, too, right? Like, the Summer League is it's a great gig.
I gotta say,
such a great gig going to cover the Summer League.
I don't understand it, but it's a great gig.
Yes, it's perfect. She is Rachel Nichols from ESPN and the host of ESPN's The Jump, and I believe making her debut on Overdrive. How you doing, Rachel?
I'm fine. First of all, you're completely right about... First of all, up at the cottage is the most Toronto expression ever. Second of all, Summer League in Vegas is an experience I would advise everyone to partake of. It's sort of the NBA's version of going to spring training. Like, it's a good kind of family thing. Tickets are super cheap. It's like $6 to get in or whatever. I will say Las Vegas in the summer is not necessarily your dream weather scenario. It was 112 degrees when I left yesterday. And people who will tell you it's a dry heat, guess what?
Okay.
112 degrees, still hot.
Right.
So there's that. But it is fun, and I would say about Summer League is that you want to go. It's cool. You have all 30 teams there now. You really do. It's the only place in the entire year you get to see everyone, because the NBA Finals, you're just seeing the people who are in the NBA Finals. Even the All-Star Game is just the most elite players. At the Summer League, you get all 30 coaches, all 30 GMs. You get players of all different ilks. But the key is, don't let yourself stay there for more than a week. You'll never leave.
Well, see, that's what I've always found fascinating about this. These players that are there, this is huge for them. They have to perform. Like, a lot of hype comes out of this.
Yeah, for sure.
And for a lot of the rookies, I mean, it's their first opportunity to prove who they are and what they are. Yet, they finally got some money. They're in Vegas. They might be 21. It's got to be enticing, Rachel, wouldn't you think? I mean, when you're on the Strip, do you see any of these guys after games, like hitting clubs, or
They don't all play every day.
Right.
So there's some built-in time for them to have fun and be kids. And it's supposed to be fun, right? I mean, it's supposed to be good. It's the off-season. It's good to give these guys some time to blow off steam. And you see a lot of the veterans, too. What I think is so interesting about Summer League is it's become a destination for veterans on these teams to come, quote, support the young guys, which means that they come to the game, they sit sort of in that front bench area for, you know, about 20, 30 minutes. Then they've done their thing. They've been photographed. They've given the attaboy. We can't wait to have you on the team. And then they go hit the clubs and the Strip, and it's great. Worked out great for everyone.
Now, remember, Rachel, when Lonzo Ball had the tough time in Summer League? Like, it was like, I think he had two shots in his first game, and it was like national news.
Absolutely, and then he had a great, later in Summer League, he had a great run. And Lonzo Ball did wonders for Summer League. The attendance last year was off the charts because L.A. is so close to Las Vegas, you can drive. So, you know, the idea that there was Lakers excitement finally for the first time in a long time with a young Laker, of course, I'm sure we're about to get into. There's an excitement now in Lakerland with an older new Laker. but at that time, obviously, Lonzo was sort of their first breath of fresh air in a while and all the hoopla that went with him. So it was a big boost to Summer League ticket sales. And I don't think the gate has been quite as good this year because that was a little bit of an anomaly, but it's still very super strong. They're drafting off that and it's only getting bigger every year. It's a cool event.
With Rachel Nichols of ESPN. So we wanted to get into this Kawhi Leonard stuff because it's caused a big stir up here in Toronto. And there's a website, oddsharks.com, and they've listed the Raptors now as the favorite outside of the Spurs for who Kawhi would play with next year. And I'm not sure where that's coming from. I don't know if they got a scoop or if Raptors fans are just hammering futures down in Vegas. And like the casinos are like, we have to adjust the lines because if this actually comes to fruition, we're in big trouble. But I think it makes a ton of sense because The Raptors have just always been an outpost in the NBA. They've never had a guy who would be considered a top three or five player in the league. Even Vince, at his height, wasn't a top three or five guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be all in on this. What would your reaction be if it actually happened, if Masai swung big and landed this guy and Kawhi became a Raptor?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, kudos to you for pointing out that when the odds shift, it's not always because the probability shifts.
Right.
That's one of the things that drives me crazy. People are like, hey, look, the Lakers are now 7-2 favorites to win the title, behind Golden State to win the title. I'm like, that's just because that's where the money is coming in. They're not actually better than Houston. I think you do always have to take that into account. Maybe that kind of stuff is moving the odds. That being said, I thought it was fascinating that DeMar DeRozan's Instagram account is now blank. There used to be pictures on there, including pictures of his Raptor stuff, and now there is not. And it could be for any reason, right? Who knows? Who knows why he decided to clear his Instagram? But it's been cleaned, so that's interesting to me. I don't know where this is coming from. I do think it's interesting, this idea of maybe going to get him, even though I highly doubt you could get any kind of guarantee from Kawhi or his people ahead of time that he would sign an extension. And that's really been the roadblock for a lot of teams like Toronto and last year Oklahoma City when they were looking into Paul George. You're not getting a guarantee that this guy is going to stay with you. So you are giving up in some cases a lot, and he might just be a rental. Oklahoma City took a swing, and Sam Presti, the GM there, was very open. He said, look, he's like, we're not even getting the big free agent meetings. Like, when these big free agents are coming up, I can't even get them to come here and meet. So I have to take a huge risk, trade for a guy like Paul George. Turned out he traded away even more than people thought at the time, because Victor Oladipo had this great career resurgence, and Nick Sabonis looked good and all of that stuff. So he made this huge trade. If Paul George had walked away for nothing, can you imagine sort of the public pressure on Sam Presti? But he said, hey, I think the best recruiting we can do in a market like Oklahoma City is just get him in here, have him play here for a year, show him what a good, solid organization we are, show him that this city and this town is more fun than he thinks it is, and that he'd have a great life for his family. And it worked. They did a 9-month sell job on him, and he signed a 4-year contract. So it is a model, maybe, for a city like Toronto, which is, of course, you know, 100 times more cosmopolitan than a place like Oklahoma City. But as you say, for one reason or another, hasn't been able to attract free agents in the same way. To maybe take a page from that book and say, hey, maybe we get him in here for a year, and he loves it.
Well, I think that's exactly what the pitch would be. And, you know, we talked about the Lakers earlier in the conversation, and Paul George was connected to them forever, right? L.A. Right. boy who basically...
He said it. He came out and said it, that he wanted to play for his childhood favorite team, the Lakers.
Exactly. And by all accounts, that door was still open to him. I mean, obviously, they were looking into LeBron, and they ended up signing LeBron, but George decided, I'm not even going to get to that point. I'm going to return to Oklahoma City. And that's what makes this Kawhi Leonard stuff so interesting, because he's connected to teams in the East, because the Spurs may want to keep him out of the West, and maybe the Lakers, they have enough confidence that he will end up as a free agent and will end up wanting to go to the Lakers, and they're willing to wait and gamble again. But I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah,
I think
the
Lakers
Paul George
need more.
Example, yeah, the Paul George right. example on the Lakers side is a lesson to them. Here's
right.
a guy who said openly, I want to play for the Lakers, I want to play for L.A. And really, I mean, look, conventional wisdom swings a lot in the NBA, right? If you kind of get into a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. A lot of people were telling the Lakers last year, hey, guys, don't rush out and trade for Paul George. He's coming anyway in a year, right? What's he going to do, stay in Oklahoma City? Ha, ha, ha. Don't try to make some big deal for him. Because look what happened with Denver and Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks. Carmelo made it very clear he wanted to come to New York. He forced a trade when, in fact, if New York had just waited 3/4 of the season, they could have gotten him, quote, for free, you know, getting a free agent as a free agent signing, and then they wouldn't have had to strip their team. And Masai, of all people, is the one who just, you know, did some highway robbery on the New York Knicks to get Denver as much as they could for Carmelo Anthony. And people were telling the Lakers, don't do that with Paul George. Don't trade away half your team. You want to have a good team when he gets there, right? So just wait him out. Well, they waited him out, and they didn't even get a meeting with him. They didn't even get a meeting with Paul George. And certainly they wanted him to come. They wanted him there with LeBron. So it's a lesson kind of on both sides. Every situation is different. There is no right answer, because it could go the Paul George way or it could go the Carmelo Anthony way. But it is interesting, and if you see a team like Toronto, which, you know, number one seed in the Eastern Conference, most successful season ever last season, but didn't do what they wanted to do in the playoffs. We saw them change the coach. There may be a feeling in the front office, you know what, we got to change the roster too, and that might mean taking a big risk.
So, Rachel, how big is the risk, and where, in your opinion, would NBA people put the Raptors if, just say it's Kawhi Leonard for DeRozan, that's the that's the nuts of the deal. What would you say that would make the Raptors then?
In terms of what? Make them what kind of team they would be in the East?
Would they be considered a much better team, like a favorite to win the East then, again?
You know, one of the big questions, I think no matter what they do, I think the Celtics, if everyone is healthy, are going to be the favorites in the East. That doesn't mean that they will win the East, by the way. That's not how this works. They have to actually play the games. But I think the Celtics will be the heavy favorites in the East. That being said, of course, Toronto makes a huge move like this, it's going to get a ton of attention. The question with Kawhi, and we don't know, and that's the other wild card in all these trades, what is going on with his health? Because right. you look at his injury, it's not an injury that would normally cause a bunch of red flags, right? It's not like, oh, I mean, look, he's still Kawhi Leonard. He just turned 27. I think people think of him as older than he is because he has sort of quiet, mature demeanor. Yeah. He just, 4 or 5 days ago, turned 27. He is 27 years old, a two-time Defensive Player of the Year, a two-time MVP finalist, an Finals MVP. That is who you are trading for, potentially. But he only played 9 games last season. 9. So you can't trade for him and then have him not play for you, especially if he's a, quote, one-year rental. So the question is, hey, the injury doesn't seem like it should have been that serious, and he should be fine for training camp, but he only played 9 games last year, and even the Spurs couldn't really figure out what was going on there.
Rachel, we miss you on the hockey beat.
I miss being on the hockey beat. I love covering hockey. Now, I cover the Washington Capitals for the Washington Post, and I grew up in Washington, D.C., so it's kind of like if someone grows up in Toronto and then they get to go cover the Leafs. For me, I covered them the only other year they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they got, as I'm sure some of you remember, tragically swept by the Detroit Red Wings mm-hmm. in a very lopsided affair that saw Game 4 being, complete washout of Red Wings fan in the Capitals arena. So it was so awesome for me to see what happened with them this year. I was totally there for all of Ovi's celebrations with the Stanley Cup, his 8-day, 12-day, is it still going on, 62-day drunken bender. I'm in. Totally
yeah.
in.
Ovi, he's taken the whole it's my cup thing to a completely different level. Like, even during the parades, he wouldn't let anybody else hold the cup. Yeah. Like,
I believe it's in the Czech Republic now two of the other guys. He's finally loosened his grip, but Philip it is Grubauer's funny to see it being passed around Europe.
Philip Grubauer is going to get that cup for like 8 minutes.
Right.
Well, he's not even on the team anymore. He's a backup goalie. Like, see you later. Great having you on, Rachel. We'll have to do it again down the road. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
There's Rachel Nichols, host of ESPN's The Jump.